Good morning on I-10 going east. Cars are having to hit the brakes starting at Cassett all the way down to I-95. On Blanding Boulevard, 295 from Blanding to Buckman, there's busy traffic. And 295 south on the East Beltway, Monument Road to St. John's Bluff Road, the roads are busy there. Sunny today with a high of 57. Clear and cold tonight with a low of 34. Right now it's 44 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A census report shows 63% of non-citizens are on welfare. Post offices and the stock market closed today in remembrance of former President George H.W. Bush. And a new legislative proposal would ban Florida motorists from driving and talking on handheld cell phones.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Don't forget the website where you can download the radio app, Roger. They can just go to it, download it, listen on their smartphones, Android phones. Just go to wbob.com, wbob.com. Good morning, I am Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. All of this as we continue to move along. Let's get to it. The latest numbers when it comes to analysis of people on welfare. No, not American people. We're talking about non-U.S. citizens, Roger. Those of illegal alien, according to a census report that shows now 63% of non-citizens, illegal aliens, are using a welfare program. 63%, and that number is expected to grow within the next 10 years up to 70%.
Nearly two-thirds of illegal immigrants estimated to be living in the United States, nearly two-thirds are currently on welfare. And you guessed it, the American taxpayers, you and I, we're footing the bill. The numbers come from census analysis compiled by the Center for Immigration Studies. So how can millions of illegal immigrants cash in on programs that are supposed to help Americans in need?
And yet, as this story continues to talk about, the Center for Immigration Studies says that those on green cards are here U.S. in the U.S. illegally. Again, 63%. Roger, in 2009, it revealed that 57%. Now, here's an interesting question. If you wanted to spend this, not you, but generally. Okay. 2009, now we're almost 10 years ago, it was 57%. As of 2014, according to the census, now it's up. The report came out today. It's now at 63%. Some would argue, well, Ed, come on, man. You guys are overplaying that. That's not that big of an increase.
Well, if the trend is it continues to go higher.
It's going up.
Here's what I find so interesting. It's against the law for an American employer to not verify the citizenship of someone they want to hire. You're not supposed to legally hire someone unless they're in the country legally. How in the world are the welfare people not asking if they're citizens before they sign them up?
Yeah. Well, they don't want to allow that coming up when it's the next census coming up in the next couple of years. By the way, as you know, the media has called the notion that illegal immigrants receiving government benefits is a myth. But the facts are not on their side. Ned Ryan, the CEO of American Majority.
Absolutely not. And the thing that's staggering, too, when you look at 63% of these households are on some form of welfare. If they've been here for longer than 10 years, it goes to 70%. And you realize when you look at some of these numbers that it's costing the American taxpayer about $116 billion a year when you look at education and welfare, all of the things that we are doing to fund these illegal immigrants being in the country. People, when they come to the border, a lot of people on the left, but even some on the right, well, for humanity's sake, we need to continue to accept these immigrants coming and claiming asylum.
It's our moral responsibility.
It's our moral responsibility. What about our moral responsibility for the American taxpayer?
Let me address that for a second. Mm-hmm. We know that the numbers, and yes, the trend did start under Obama, but heavily inclined, as they say in the workout world, or a decrease among those on poverty and food stamps, where the numbers have gone down out there. But the numbers of illegal aliens of those on government benefits are going up.
Going up. You know what I'm thinking?
Right.
It'd be less expensive for the American taxpayer to just send them the welfare check there because the cost of living isn't as high and they wouldn't have to send as much.
So here's a couple of questions. When you hear, I like to hear from you, that, well, hey, what about the morality of this, Roger? You need to have a You have a good heart. You need to, again, what did he say one more time about how you cannot be mean here one more time?
Continue to accept these immigrants coming and claiming
it's
asylum.
It's a moral responsibility.
It's a moral responsibility. It is, you need to do more. That's kind of like a church, maybe, you know, I'm not trying to pick on the Catholic Church, but the Catholic Church really does encourage illegal aliens to come over because of the morality issue. I understand where they're coming across. They want to help them out. But now that means they have to get more money to come in and take care of this. There's a moral aspect to this, Roger. How do you answer that?
It goes back to the teach a man the fish proverb. I think if we go into these countries that they're coming from, south of the U.S. border, Central America, Mexico, help them develop their economy where they have good paying jobs there, they wouldn't want to come here and get on welfare in America.
Greater political power. And so you see, you look at Democrats, they're doing this for political power. And some of the Republicans that have been for this broken immigration system, they're doing it for short-term business gain. It is deeply immoral for any leader, Republican or Democrat, to prioritize or say that the humanity of other people besides the American taxpayer and American voter should be prioritized. It is deeply immoral.
You know, if you go to a town hall meeting and you always talk about, you know, taxes, regulation, education, and you always talk about those issues that may not be on the radar, but when you talk about it, like corporate welfare and about pensions for retirements for those elected officials, you tick off a lot of people. In fact, you tick them off on both sides. You and I have covered a lot of town hall. That issue right there ticks off a lot of people.
What's so interesting is we get mad at hardworking Americans who work for the government, even if they're elected officials, and the amount of retirement they're getting. These people aren't even American citizens, and most of them are, you know, who are getting these benefits, not even here legally.
You know, if you're a Democrat, do you know that Republicans will call you a socialist, communist? You know, we try to leave those words because most people don't understand those. So, but I call them hardcore leftists, progressives, whatever, because it's based on verbiage out there. Those, of course, call Trump supporters a bunch of Nazis. How can women vote for President Trump? In other words, it's just the one size fits all. Real Clear Politics associate editor A.B. Stoddard says, well, when you look at this past year's election, the Trump supporters, I mean, Trump is just, that's all they're going for is just white people. White people is the only class of citizens that they can attract. In fact, it's so bad that Republicans under Trump are acting like children of alcoholic parents.
Times this morning, there's not a lot of signs of course correction inside the Republican Party moving forward.
Right. What Jonathan points out and what these Republicans are talking about privately is a new delineation, a realignment that makes them the party of white men. The new conference.
Wait. Can I stop right there? How is it that they're able to try to attract the white person vote? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, they're beating on brown people south of the border. But yet, when we look at the numbers again, you look at how Ron DeSantis got 18% of those in the black female vote based on school choice. That does not tell me it's the party of the white people. When almost 15% of those in the black community, maybe it wasn't so much a vote for Ron, but it was a vote against Andrew Gillum, a lot maybe based on taxes, maybe based on the issue of school choice, that number is increasingly up. But Roger, what I'm trying to follow through here is, what issue are they driving only to get the white person vote? I wonder if they're trying to inject it's all based on racism.
You know what? That's probably going to be an argument you hear, you know, here and there. But, you know, I think people are looking at for two things. One, what group do they identify with?
Right.
Political tribalism. And I think what's going to help them the best in their families.
Talking about privately is a new delineation, a realignment that makes them the party of white men. The new conference without their 40 either retired colleagues or defeated colleagues is much more Trumpian and silent on this question. So they can't have a debate about a course correction, even though they know that this is where the party's headed. It's an amazing moment. It's like alcoholic children. You just laugh of an alcoholic parent. You keep laughing and you hide in your bedroom when it gets really bad. They will not address this. Their leadership refuses to, and they're afraid.
I'm so confused. Again, that's A.B. Stoddard from Real Clear Politics says all you Trump supporters are like children of alcoholic parents, that they're not going beyond. They're not doing. I don't understand the issues that Republicans push, whether you agree with them or not. And a lot of them push a lot of big spending items. When you talk about tax cuts, I didn't realize there was some sort of racial component that only attracts white people. Just tell me, what are all the philosophies? Let me just say conservatives, that their only type of measures attract white people. You do know here in the state of Florida that the conservatives love tax credit scholarships to benefit those that want to attend a charter school or private school, the people that pay taxes, and 2/3 of those that benefit from the McKay and the Step Up program are those in black and minority neighborhoods.
You know, I can't figure out what specifically she was talking about when she compared Republicans to the children of alcoholics. Was there any specific problem, or she just didn't like Donald Trump, period?
Who knows with that? The stock market is up and down one day after Trump says, hey, we're going to suspend tariffs from going to 10% to 25% for 90 days. The market goes up, and then it hits another 700-point drop. But overall, the economy looks good when you listen to those of the CEO Jim Sloan of Wells Fargo and Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan. He says it may be a tad, but he goes, overall, things look good even among small business.
It does not. When I talk to our customers, and it's across the board, corporate, middle market, small business, I'll get back to small business in a minute, commercial real estate, they continue to be fairly optimistic about the economy. They will say that their biggest challenge is hiring enough people to continue to grow the business. In fact, we came out with our Wells Fargo Gallup Small Business Index today, and the results for small businesses were off the charts, highest ever.
We feel very good about the U.S. economy. The prediction was a slow a little bit, but underneath that is a strong growth rate that we feel very strong about. Unemployment, wage growth, all the factors are very strong, including small business enthusiasm that we just put out the other day.
Can I play a Debbie Downer?
Okay.
Didn't we hear the same thing back in 2008 from some of these bankers when the market crashed? Yes, we did.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Just follow my lead, Roger.
Okay.
Come on, you got to have a little bit. Yeah, but small business optimism, very high. More as we continue to move along. All right, 222 Talk, 222-8255. Love to hear from you. Here's a couple questions I'd like to ask you about the immigration here. Okay. Got a lot of emails coming in this morning about this issue. 63%, according to the Center for Immigration Studies, follow this, but this is done from the U.S. Census. This is the government's own numbers. By the way, do you know who was president at the time? Barack H. Obama. So this is not a Donald Trump or a white thing, okay? It shows that 63% today, those that are on green cards, those that are here illegally, are obtaining welfare benefits. 63%. The number's going to go up to 70%. And yet we're told by the liberal left, well, hey, there's a morality here. We've got to help these people one way or the other. But then again, we asked the question, who looks out for the morality of the taxpayers' back pocket? So here's a couple of questions. Do we need to ignore what the cost is and look at the morality? Number two, if there were some that are advocating, I'm getting emails this morning, well, Ed, if you allowed everybody to give them a pathway to citizenship, these are the emails I'm receiving, and make them pay a fine and make them pay taxes, it would pay as they go. It would pay for all their education and all their welfare benefits. Here's a question. Do you believe that? Should we find those here illegally? Should we find, not find them, F-I-N-D, yes, but find F-I-N-D. They should pay a price for being here illegally, not go back, but they're already here. And would that, some have said, take care of the cost that is being spent on their welfare and education? Love to hear from you. What is your take? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Let's take a couple quick calls. Let's go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning. Two things. If they know, if 63% of the people are illegal here illegally and they're collecting welfare benefits and they know an active address or a way to get in contact with these people, why aren't they being deported? That's number one. We've got a $20 trillion plus deficit and we're giving these folks welfare and they're here illegally. It makes zero sense. I don't understand it.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Maybe because those that, let's say they came over through, quote, a political asylum, or they overstayed their green cards, and let's say that it hasn't come back in time, but they're still receiving checks, even though they're maybe here, quote, legally, that could be also be part of the problem as well.
Well, let's turn it around the other way. Let's say we went to Mexico or Honduras or Germany or France, and we overstayed our visa, and we said, oh, here, by the way, we don't want to work. But we want to participate in your welfare system over there. They would yank us out of that country so quickly, it would make your head spin around.
Yeah,
so
I think you bring up a good point why we don't enforce the laws as it is. Can you imagine if you routinely sucked off the dole of the government illegally and they knew about it?
Mm-hmm.
Who is more the culprit, the people that know about it or the people that are taking advantage of the situation?
It would seem to me there's something going wrong with the Welfare Administration if they're not even asking people if they're here legally in the country.
Oh, they don't want to ask that employers, when it comes to census.
Employers have to ask that when they hire someone.
Well, they're supposed to, but we can't seem to enact E-Verify here. Right. I don't even know why we can't even get that done. I mean, Republicans killed that here in Florida a few years back. Sean, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, good morning. My take on all this is when President Trump first outlined his, you know, plan for build infrastructure and rebuild our cities and so forth, we don't have the money to take care of additional welfare. The laws are already on the books. Everybody's circumventing it. And why now? Why not? Why is it so important right now? We have other minorities in our own country that need help with building a business, education, rebuild inner cities and so forth, and put some jobs together. I would love to see that. You can't tell me if you put a Ford plant in Southside Chicago and hired 25,000 workers that guy would go home and say, guess what? I got a paycheck, a real paycheck today. I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah. Sean, you bring up Sean, hold on. Let me ask you a question. You kind of bring up an interesting analysis. If the money is, or let's just say the money's there. I mean, even though we should cut government spending, but I think some would agree with your argument, Sean, that, hey, if the money's going to be spent, let's at least spend it on those that are here legally and may not pay a federal tax, but at least they pay local taxes of gasoline, sales tax into the community, and let's give it to those that are already here legally in this country. Is that what you're saying?
Right, that is correct. And you could look right inside our own backyard in Jacksonville, different pockets of neighborhoods that got, you know, empty commercial buildings and so forth, and maybe with some score help and things like that. Mm. There's young individuals in there. You can't, you know, bang them down with high rent and all that, and get these people make them be their own entrepreneurs, business owners, and help them out that way with low loans and training and so forth. I'm telling you, that's how you rebuild the community. Not this come in illegally and then put the children on TV and, oh, someone's getting morally wrong. We got to take care of our own backyard. We have a lot of mop up to do.
Yeah. Sean says take care of your own backyard. By the way, all these illegal alien children that have been coming over into the state of Florida, who do you think's paying for that education? Just kind of asking. 222-TALK, 222-8255, TALK Radio, WBOB.
On I-295 South San Jose Boulevard, there's a crash on the right, I-95 South at San Marco, a broken down car. And if you're on I-10, you'll start to slow down at Cassett. It remains busy down to 95. Traffic brought to you by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning.
Internal Revenue Service. When you owe a personal or business tax debt and can't pay, just hearing those three words brings feelings of fear and anxiety. I'm Jonathan David Suryash, Managing Tax Attorney at J. David Tax Law. Everyone knows that if you owe the IRS and don't pay, it's only a matter of time before tax liens, wage garnishments, or bank levies happen to you. The first step to resolution is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. We explain exactly what your options are and how we will resolve your tax issue. J. David Tax Law is a local firm right here in Jacksonville, where only an experienced tax attorney will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. If you have tax problems, call us now for a no-cost consultation at 904-507-4777. That's 904-507-4777, or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. That's jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
Lots of sunshine today. We'll have a high of 57. This evening's going to be cold. Overnight, the low 34. Right now, it is 43 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram, next at 9. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on Talk Radio AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Post offices and the stock market closed today in remembrance of former President George H.W. Bush. A new legislative proposal would ban Florida motorists from driving and talking on handheld cell phones. And a census report shows 63% of non-citizens are on welfare.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Nearly two-thirds of illegal immigrants estimated to be living in the United States, nearly two-thirds are currently on welfare. And you guessed it, the American taxpayers, you and I, we're footing the bill. The numbers come from census analysis compiled by the Center for Immigration Studies. So how can millions of illegal immigrants cash in on programs that are supposed to help Americans in need?
That's a great question from Fox News. Hi, everybody. Ed Dean here along with Roger Henderson. Your call is coming up next. Love to hear what you think. I get a lot of emails, Roger. Here's one from Roberta. She says, Ed, I will tell you this right now, that I'm all for a common sense solution, unlike you Republicans, when it comes to the issue of illegal immigration. If we just make them pay a fine and start taxing them, it will pay for all the benefits.
How does that fare, though, to people who are standing in line back in Honduras trying to get into the country the right way?
Well, she's talking about the people that are already here.
I know, but, you know, that's completely unfair to those who've done the right thing, though.
Here's another one from Samuel. Ed, if you Republicans in the Chamber of Commerce would stop taking advantage of illegal aliens, we wouldn't be having this problem out there. Here's another one from Miles. Ed, I work in a restaurant business, and yet they pay me a higher than minimum wage, but they take advantage of them by not paying them a higher minimum wage. Here's another one from Selma. She says, Ed, when it comes to the issue of illegal immigration, why don't we just tax them, make them pay in the Social Security tax, FICA, and everything else, and that will solve all the problems. But my question is, if they're not here legally, then how can they get on the government dole when they want to retire down the road?
And very often, the identity theft, we've talked about that. They're using someone else's Social Security number in a lot of cases.
Yeah. A lot of people still weighing in. Before we get back to the phones, here's another one from, this one's from Lewis. He says, Ed, I work at a Publix here in Jacksonville. He says, if you go at lunchtime at the deli section, you'll see a caravan. And for the most part, they look to be either Central or South American. Now hearing that over 60% of illegals are getting some side of government assistance, it makes me, a single dad of two young kids, upset. He goes, I make $13 an hour, and I'm being told that I make too much money. But when you look at what I take home, paying for taxes, blah, 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 and then illegal aliens are getting money, I can see why people are getting ticked off. Here's one. She's from Jennifer. Ed, I'm a Democrat. I normally would not agree with President Trump on many issues, but I understand while those even among the Hispanic community would vote for President Trump that got here legally, that are paying taxes, and to have those from other parts, let's say from their country, that where they jump in front of the line, now they're able to get benefits without going through due process. Wow, a lot of people weighing in. Let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning, Ed. My blood is boiling. You know, I have 2 points. You know, first of all, a lot of these guys, hearing the story of the single dad, a lot of these people that are working, they're doing construction jobs and getting paid cash. So they're double dipping. They could pay taxes, but they're just choosing not to pay taxes. I know that for sure. But the next thing is there's a huge cost that to immigration that you don't see. The cost is our children's education. Down in South Florida, a lot of the kids barely speak English, and they're thrown into schools with fluent English speaking kids. So the teachers can't teach as much as they could because they can only teach as fast as the slower students can accept. So when you hear that they've had to lower the test standards for the state of Florida,
right?
I believe it's because of the immigration issue and students, not that they're stupid, but they just can't speak English well enough to understand what's going on. And it brings the whole school system down, you know, and if you look at the school kids up here, they are so much smarter than the school kids down in South Florida because we don't have all the immigration. At least that's my take on it.
Mike, I appreciate your take. Let me ask this question. The more students you get, supposedly advocates more money for your school district.
Okay.
If we have illegal alien children here attending throughout the state of Florida, not just South Florida, but throughout the state of Florida, how come that's not being reported? Well, Ed, wait a second. We gotta have morality here. Okay. But again, the question is, what about the morality of the local taxpayer Who's paying for this?
The education.
Am I wrong? I mean, is that a right question or not?
That's the one area that I'm okay with, because that's an investment not just in that young person.
Oh, really?
But it's an investment in society, all things equal.
So Rogers,
these people are going to be here eventually.
So you say the morality takes over as an investment in the taxpayers' back pockets.
I wouldn't even call it morality. It's just we want to have an educated workforce for the future, and this is, you know, we have to educate the kids no matter where they
whether
came
they're
from.
Here illegally or not legally, correct?
Yes.
So you're saying we should just go ahead and fund it and pay for it.
Other than that, what are they going to be doing? Walking around town, maybe committing crimes. I'd rather have them in class.
Well,
learning.
Now you assume that everybody that's an illegal alien is going to commit crimes.
If they say that a lot of kids who are missing school, that they get into trouble.
Okay, but why not? If some would argue, why not send them back with their parents? Send them back to their parents.
To the countries they come.
But remember, we had 60,000 that came over 2014, 2015 without their parents. We're being sent, and now they're in many. They've assimilated into many of the public schools. Yeah. A lot even here in Florida.
I would not be opposed to that, but if they're going to be here, I want the kids in school.
So Roger says that should be an investment. They're here illegally. We don't need to send them back. Let's keep them in school.
No, I say, I'm okay with sending them back, but if they're going to be here and we're not going to send them back, make sure they're in the class.
Well, no, you can't have it both ways. What do you mean? Anybody can say they're going to be here.
Right.
The question is should they be here?
Probably not. If they're here illegally, no. But the fact of the matter is we do have a problem with the 100-pound elephant in the living room. The kids are here. Let's go ahead and send them to school.
Let's go to Dana. Dana, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning. I'm tired of all this immigration stuff. I think the United States should practice that theory of tough love. Let's end immigration. It's in our past. 100 years ago, it was okay. It was wonderful. End it now. We don't need all these people coming here. No matter what anybody thinks, immigration belongs in our past. That's all I have to say.
All right. There were those that would
close the borders.
There were those that would advocate until we can find out. Now, I think there could be an argument for this, but I want to hear what you think. 888-8255. That if 63%, according to the latest census numbers, of those here illegally are on welfare, all right? They're on welfare. The question that I would ask then is that, do we need to find out who's here before we allow more legal immigration? Do we need to put a hold on like we did in the 50s? Do we need to find out who's here illegally before we open up the borders even more? Should there be a limit on that? But here's the question. A lot of people are emailing me, if we just give them a pathway to citizenship. I mean, I read the emails here a few moments ago. If we just make them pay a fine, if we make them pay taxes, this should suffice the American taxpayer. That's what people are emailing me right now.
Yeah.
Make them pay into the taxes, make them pay here local taxes, and this will take care of the problem. Do you believe that? What is your view? 888-8255. More as we continue to move along. Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, Talk Radio, WBOB.
Talk Radio, AM 600. 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Dignitaries from across the country and around the globe gather today in Washington for a state funeral for President George H.W. Bush. The funeral to take place in a few hours at the Washington National Cathedral. Calling Michael Flynn's cooperation in the Russia investigation substantial, Special Counsel Robert Mueller's office recommending no prison time for the former National Security Advisor. China is promising to carry out a tariff truce with Washington. However, Beijing offering no details as to exactly what President Xi and Trump agreed to when they met recently in Argentina. A powerful earthquake has struck in the southern Pacific, sending jitters across the region after authorities warned of possible tsunamis. However, there are no initial reports of any destructive waves or any major damage. More details at srnnews.com.
Good morning. I-295 South San Jose Boulevard. There's a crash. You'll see it on the right. We do see backup on the traffic cams as the sun rises there. 95 South at San Marco, a broken down car. And if you're at 95 North at the Dunn Avenue exit, you'll see an accident on the left side of the highway. Lots of sunshine today with a high of 57. This evening's going to be clear and cold. Overnight, the low 34. Right now, it's 43. Here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A new legislative proposal would ban Florida motorists from driving and talking on handheld cell phones. A census report shows 63% of non-citizens are on welfare. And post offices and the stock market closed today in remembrance of former President George H.W. Bush.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
And the thing that's staggering, too, when you look at that, 63% of these households are on some form of welfare. If they've been here for longer than 10 years, it goes to 70%. And you realize when you look at some of these numbers that it's costing the American taxpayer about $116 billion a year when you look at education and welfare, all of the things that we are doing to fund these illegal immigrants being in the country. People, when they're saying when they come to the board, a lot of people on the left, but even some on the right, well, for humanity's sake, we need to continue to accept these immigrants coming and claiming asylum.
It's our moral responsibility.
It's our moral responsibility. What about our moral responsibility for the American taxpayer?
It's your moral responsibility to pay for people here that do illegal activity.
Hmm.
Guarantee him a job.
Why hasn't anyone suggested, you know, countries that we give foreign aid to, figure out what countries the illegal aliens are coming from and then subtract that from what we'd give them in foreign aid otherwise? Or maybe putting some type of tariff on wire transfers and bank transfers down to these countries.
Yeah, but you got a lot of kleptomaniacs. They'll just take the money. They don't care if these people stay in. I mean, the bottom line is I mean, if it was so bad now, what makes you think it's going to get any better?
Well, I'm not saying it's going to get better, but you know what? Maybe we're giving a lot of foreign aid to Honduras. Maybe, I'm not sure.
But Honduras and these countries are not disencouraging people from leaving the country.
That's what I'm saying. Create an incentive for them to disencourage it by subtracting the some level of amount from their foreign aid they get.
Then what are they going to do, put all their citizens in the cages?
No.
Then how do you, wait, if you're giving the government money in the foreign countries, how does that, they can't even take the money now. Venezuela's got oil up the wazoo and can't even take care of the people of its own. What makes you think if we subtract the foreign aid to somebody's countries out there, it's going to tell them to tell their people to stay in their own homeland?
Maybe there could be something they could do. I don't know.
222-TALK, 222-8255. David, good morning. You're on WBOB. What's going on?
I just wanted to discuss this study in general and the fact that it says 63% of non-citizens. The study is flawed because a non-citizen is not illegal by definition. And so if you want to take an example, the refugee program. The refugee program, we bring people in, they're legal, they get a green card, and they receive benefits. But that's a program of the federal government and state governments, and it's not illegal. So I think we need to define more clearly what is the problem. The problem is illegal immigration. But this study doesn't tell you what you need to know about that.
That's the government calling them non-citizens.
What's that?
That's the government's words, non-citizens.
I think David was saying not every non-citizen is an illegal alien, though. Some can't come here legally, and maybe they're getting the benefits as well, and they're included with the illegal immigrants.
Right.
So someone that got a green card.
You don't know what the numbers are for illegal aliens. That's a problem.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the only point I wanted to make. I
see
an issue with illegal aliens being on welfare, but I can't tell from this study what the real problem is.
Should a non-U.S. citizen be able to obtain welfare as well?
Well, there are programs of the government that are specifically tailored toward, for instance, I'm very familiar with the refugee situation. My wife worked in that area for 8 years, and you know, it's a program that where we work with the world community to to take care of these people who are refugees. Well, if you include those numbers in the totals, it's just impossible to tell what the real problem is.
Yeah, but my question was, and I'm not trying to throw you in the bus, should non-citizens obtain welfare?
Well, the government has these programs. I mean, I understand
the government has the programs. I was asking, I just want to know what your opinion was. Do you think non-citizens should be able to obtain welfare?
Well, I believe that there is a place for, specifically with regard to refugees, for taking in some number. And we've got a number, and it's an annual thing. And so to answer that question, with a black and white answer, yes or no, is a difficult proposition.
Well, does it depend on the...
I believe that there are some people that need to be taken care of.
Does it depend on the refugee, where they're coming from?
Does it depend where they're coming from?
Yeah.
No. I mean, if they're coming in through a program that the government supports, I don't have any issue with that. Now
I got to get going. Whether the government supports it or not, mm-hmm. doesn't always make it right. The question, because you have Syrian refugees
right.
without being vetted that are coming into this country. Remember Andrew Gillum, right. who the former mayor of Tallahassee wanted to open them with welcome arms, and the question was well, how are they going to live? He could never answer that.
Americans have had a problem with the entire Middle Eastern culture since 9/11. I get that. But, there have been war-torn countries in the past where people needed to get out of where they were because it was dangerous to live. And if they don't know the language and, they are at the very initial stages of having to assimilate into this country, maybe if they are a legitimate refugee, then there is a place for some government
assistance.
What's
the difference between a legitimate and illegitimate if they can lie?
If they lie, then, we need to ask them.
Well, the Democrats consider it...
Is their country a war-torn country or not?
Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of people from Iran that vote Republican.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's been going on since the Shah. In California, I mean, a lot of Lebanese people vote Republican because they're business owners. But the question is, and again, I understand where David's an honest guy. I understand where he's coming from. But the question is if you are a non-U.S. citizen, should you be collecting? Maybe the question is are there certain types of welfare? I mean, if you go to an emergency room, mm-hmm. could that be considered welfare because the taxpayer pays for that? Well, according to the government, anybody can go to the emergency room.
Another thing that had me kind of confused is they were calling education welfare.
Well, it is welfare. If you're not paying into it and some taxpayer's paying for you, that
right.
is welfare in many cases. Let's go to Keith. Keith, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Morning, everybody. Hey, one of the things you guys are kind of dancing around, but I don't think you've quite got it yet, is paying for it. As long as it's the government paying for it, it's not my money. So someone who wants to help people, yeah. But if I'm paying the government, then maybe I should be able to control how the government spends it. Now, so my question would be, the people who want immigrants or whoever to come in, will they pay for it directly? Can we set up a program for that? Then that way they can select whoever they want to come in. Like if I want a whole bunch of people from England to come in, can I, pay for them to come in as illegal immigrants?
Have like a GoFundMe page, right?
Exactly, yes. Because as soon as it starts coming out of the person's pocket instead of somebody else's pocket, now it might make a little difference as to who's coming in and who's not.
Keith, that's kind of an interesting take. I say this almost with tongue in cheek, but this is going to happen, what I'm going to tell you. Let's say that you have a GoFundMe page.
Mm-hmm.
And Keith, I know this sounds like a joke, but this is what's going to be the accusation. Let's say that there's more of a GoFundMe people from
Norway.
Yes. Or England. But if it's from those of brown countries out there,
an S-hole
it
country.
Must be racism because they're not getting enough money for that. You know that's going to happen.
Well, like I said, that's okay because who's paying into it? It's like, years back, the church used to take care of a whole bunch of stuff like that,
right.
So I don't want to run around and say all the churches were racist because they took care of one race more than the other, So, just because one race is getting help more, that's who the people are paying to help.
Yeah, I understand where you come across. I don't ever see that happen, but you know that's what's going to be. It's all going to be about racism because, again, those that from Mexico, we didn't have a GoFundMe for that as well. So it's just it's interesting out there. 222-TALK, 222-8255 We all talk about the. Let's go down this path again because this again, this is another news item that's come up today. We talk about the crime. Mayor Linda Curry says we need to do more in poor communities, maybe more with government taxpayer monies through grant. I've suggested, you know, what more economic would do much better. Some would say less cops. Some say more cops. Reggie Gaffney says, no, we need to guarantee them a job. We need more mentoring. Cordley Peel from News 4 Jackson, another one. We're students now. I mean, everybody. Listen, I think we're getting overdone with all of these. Let's have another church meeting. Let's have another panel discussion. Let's have another meeting about school violence. News 4 Jax Cordley Peel says that now kids from some of the local public schools are now getting involved.
Tonight's event gave students the opportunity to share their concerns and views on gun violence. They believe there is a problem, and they want to make sure that they can come up with solutions to help make their community safer. A panel of students sat on a stage at the Legend Center Tuesday, sharing their concerns about gun violence among Jacksonville youth. Winston Peel is the vice president of the Young Leaders of Today. He believes there is a problem with gun violence, considering he hears gunshots on a regular basis in his neighborhood. Students spoke about school safety and their concerns about the possibility of arming teachers. Metal detectors in schools were also discussed. Some feel they would take away from the learning environment. Students believe having mentors and organizing group programs can help find solutions to stop gun violence.
So here's the thing. I like the – I think she always does a good job, Cordley Peel. She covers it. Would they mention the areas of mentoring? That is also needed. But when you, she's also covered the areas, and she didn't imply that she supports this. She's a, she does a good job where she reports the news like Kent and these guys do without trying to put a little bit bias in it. Is the bottom line is you've got the March Dads, March Against Dads, whatever you want to call it. Like,
Mad Dads.
Mad Dads. Get the phones, brother. Thank you. The Mad Dads. And this Women's Against, all they want to do locally to address gun violence is they do not promote more cops on the streets. Is Roger, we've covered it, they promote more gun control. Now, we had a fake news story by a caller last week that said that they're going to try to come take your guns. Now, those groups want to take your guns. Well, it's going to come in front of the city council. There wasn't one city council person trying to push this as an agenda item. I could see it happened, but it's not happening right now. You've got these gun proposals that are going to come up on a 2020 measure ballot here in Florida. You've got the pro-gun control crowd that says, we want to put this on the ballot. We want to get the 60%. We want to get the threshold of signatures. They might be able to get it. But now the question is, are we asking the right questions here, even among young people? I mean, one person says, what about metal detectors? Well, it might take away the learning environment. Really? Here's another one. Why should we give a gun to a teacher, quote, whose job is to educate, not to protect the students? I mean, is it a moving target if you put out a metal detector? No. If you want to use a deterrent, why would you not have metal detectors there? If kids can learn in many crime-ridden areas of education, then you want to protect them more. I think you have more of a lawsuit if you don't protect them. But are we not asking the right questions when it comes to our violence here in Jacksonville? What is it we're not talking about? Again, I suggested this last hour. If you are a gun store, like Green Acres it advertises here or other, I would run ads on gospel stations, black gospel stations, on hip-hop stations. We have a big black audience here. That you would run ads saying, guys, until we find out what the figure had to take care of guns in your or crime in your area, get a concealed weapons permit.
You know what's really
interesting? Only you will take care of you.
One of the bigger advertisers that you hear on some of the hip-hop stations, believe it or not, Bell Bondsman.
Yeah. We're more and more people getting out of jail than protect themselves. So why are we not running ads saying, guys, come, we'll even cut the fees. You need to protect yourself, arm those in the black community. Why are we not promoting that? It's a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
More coming along right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
On I-295 South San Jose Boulevard, there's been a crash. Lots of backup. We're counting at least three cars. And I-95 North at Dunn Avenue, there's been a wreck there this morning.
This traffic report is brought to you by J. David Tax Law. When you owe the IRS and can't pay, go to jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Whether it's lunch or dinner, on the go, or if you want to dine in, Hangar Bay Cafe at 2294 Mayport Road is for you. Hangar Bay is open 7 days a week for lunch or dinner and is famous for their Japanese ramen. A regular ramen bowl with two pieces of chicken and drink starts at just $13. In the mood for something traditional? Hangar Bay has fried chicken better than your mama's. Hangar Bay made the list of the best fried chicken in all 50 states based on Yelp data. Seafood like shrimp and fish with grits and sandwiches that are unique, like bourbon teriyaki pulled pork, spicy sausage, or spicy Cajun po' boy. Hangar Bay is a veteran-owned restaurant with a Navy theme and variety. Hangar Bay Cafe, 2294 Mayport Road. Dine in, take out, and ask about catering. Online at hangarbaycafe.com.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. If you're looking for jewelry this holiday season, we have what you want at Underwoods, and we carry the hottest and best names you'll find anywhere in North Florida. The biggest name in designer jewelry is David Yurman, and his looks are more popular today than they were years ago when Underwoods introduced this designer to Jacksonville. And we carry David Yurman not just in ladies' jewelry, but also in timepieces in his extensive collection of men's jewelry. If it's a watch you're looking for, we carry Rolex and other watches considered to be the best in their price points. We also carry extensive collections of the jewelry we import directly from Italy and Spain that are always popular for their quality, style, and value.
So if you want the hottest and most popular jewelry and want to be waited on by the most professional staff in the business, stop by Underwoods in San Marco, Avondale, or the Shops of Ponte Vedra.
I'm State Senator Aaron Bean, and I approve this message to say thank you for your support. It is a great honor to serve you in the Florida Senate. If you have a thought or an idea on state government, let me hear from you. Aaron at AaronBean.com. Paid for and approved by Aaron Bean, Republican for State Senate.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Thursday, the Jacksonville Jaguars will face the Tennessee Titans. Tune in at 8.05 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Sunny today, 57 degrees the high. This evening, clear and cold, 34 the low. Right now, it's 43 at WBOB.
Laura Ingram next at 9. Dennis Prager at noon on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. A census report shows 63% of non-citizens are on welfare. Post offices and the stock market closed today in remembrance of former President George H.W. Bush. And a new legislative proposal would ban Florida motorists from driving and talking on handheld cell phones.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Here on our newsmaker line, he is an economist with the O'Neill Center at SMU University. Go to O'NeillCenter.org, economist Dean Stansel. So let me play for you a clip. This is from the CEO of Wells Fargo, Tim Sloan, Bank of America CEO Brian Moynihan. They talk about the tension, tariffs, and the, you know, the stock market this week going up and down. Clip number three.
It does not. When I talk to our customers, and it's across the board, corporate, middle market, small business, I'll get back to small business in a minute, commercial real estate, they continue to be fairly optimistic about the economy. They will say that their biggest challenge is hiring enough people to continue to grow the business. In fact, we came out with our Wells Fargo Gallup Small Business Index today, and the results for small businesses were off the charts, highest ever.
We feel very good about the U.S. economy. The prediction was a slow a little bit, but underneath that is a strong growth rate that we feel very strong about. Unemployment, wage growth, all the factors are very strong.
So what is a strong growth rate? What is it, 2.5%, 3%? What should the bar be, Dean?
Yeah, I think 3 is a good number. If you look at the last two quarters of GDP growth, we were 3.5% and 4.2%. And the last time we've had two quarters in a row above 3.5% was about 4 years ago, and it only happened once under the previous president. So, you know, we're looking pretty good. Certainly there are concerns for the future, the uncertainty with tariffs. But overall, I think things are looking pretty good.
Is it, if there is a 10% tariff, if they have a 90-day hold, which means they don't go up to 25%, How, I mean, is it reasonable to say, duh, that it's going to be, you know, you want to buy something that's metal, you want to buy a new car, expect to pay a higher tariff based on what Trump is trying to have with the trade deal with China?
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's already been some front loading of imports to avoid the coming tariffs. So this kicks the can down the road a little bit. Who knows if they'll actually change anything in the next 90 days and come to some agreement. But if they do, that'd be great. If they don't, then that's, you know, raising tariffs up to 25%, that's going to have an impact. I mean, the tariffs we have already had an impact. And farmers in particular are doing really poorly. The soybean farmers out in Iowa have huge tons of unsold inventory. And ironically, you know, so we were putting these tariffs, we hurt the farmers, and then we give them a bailout with the, you know, agriculture department has bailout funds available for these guys.
Right.
How are we paying for this with deficit spending? Who's buying our bonds? The Chinese investors are buying our bonds. So as long as they keep buying our bonds, we're able to bail out the farmers who are being harmed by our attempt to punish China.
What is, if you take away the tariffs, let's say things get smoothed out, the market reacts and says, hey, we like the way that the president's negotiating with China. What other indicators, if there's any type of a slowdown? And I don't know if that's just more verbal coming from media, or is there something actually, I mean, if you exclude the tariffs out there, is there anything looking to drag the economy, housing a little bit, or what?
Yeah, I suppose housing could cause some issues if there's a major slowdown in the growth of housing prices. But you know, the other side of that, Ed, is that for buyers, a slowdown in the growth of prices is a good thing, right? Housing prices, just like stock prices, these are prices, and people, you know, when they're lower, it's easier for people to buy them. The stock market is down hugely yesterday, but I think that's just a temporary blip, and I think that the bigger thing is the GDP numbers, the unemployment numbers, the employment growth numbers, these sorts of things that have a real impact on people's daily lives, as opposed to just kind of up and downs. Because look, the stock market's up over time in a large degree, and it tends to trend upward, and it has continued to do so. We've got about it's grown at about a 14% annual rate since they started quantitative easing back in 2009. Now, I realize they stopped that, thankfully.
All right. But Dean Stansel is an economist at the O'Neill Center. Go to O'NeillCenter.org at SMU University. You know, when you talk about the issue of tax cuts and how they can benefit the economy, now it's, you got to break it down by certain tax cuts. Some tax cuts are better than others when it comes to that. But when it comes to the stock market, and you hear this conversation, do you believe, or does it, one of these that you have to break it down again, Dean, because you cover this, is the stock market an indicator one way or the other which way the economy is going to go, or is that a yes and no answer?
No, I mean, I think that it's complicated because you get all mixed up with investor predictions and forecasts about what's going to happen. And you know, this whole thing with the inverted bond yield curve. I mean, people can't agree on whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, or how bad it is if it's a bad thing. I mean, ultimately, it's a long-term trend is up, and I think that it's we get a little too excited about these daily and weekly fluctuations there.
I mean, you hinted at the word. A few moments ago, quantitative easing, which injected a lot of money to the economy, the people that need it, like some of the big banks after their TARP and too big to fail. And man, the stock market really ballooned underneath Barack H. Obama. Liberals love to point to that, but that really wasn't because of a lot of growth out there. I mean, the markets indicated that things were going to turn around, but we didn't have that much creative growth underneath Barack H. Obama. So maybe it isn't always a true indicator.
Oh, absolutely. You're right. And I think that's exactly what we saw. Typically, with the sort of monetary policy we had with the quantitative easing, you'd see inflation. And we didn't really see inflation in the price of most things. But we saw it in the stock market, and we saw it in housing markets. And you're right, we had very lackluster growth under the previous administration. We were in about a 10-year expansion, but the first eight or so were really slow growth. And so it makes it hard to really put this in perspective of normal expansions and whether or not there's a recession around the corner. I mean, and certainly it'll happen at some point, but as if the trade war doesn't go out of hand, I think that we're in good shape for the short term, at least.
Dean Stansel, professor of economics at the O'Neill Center at SMU University, O'NeillCenter.org. Dean, good to have you on this morning.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, Ed.
55 minutes after the hour, talk radio, WBOB.
If you're on I-295 on the East Beltway, Butler Boulevard, there's something blocking the center lane. 295 South, just before San Jose Boulevard, there's a wreck involving at least three cars.
I'm Lou Dobbs. Wall Street Today, closed today, honoring former President George H.W. Bush. Those stories next.
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor and he's diagnosed with cancer stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 855-41-BIBLE. That's 855-41-BIBLE.
Wall Street today closed as the nation honors former President George H.W. Bush. This national day of mourning comes after a huge sell-off yesterday as investors reacted to news that negotiations between the United States and China on trade are uncertain in their outcome. President Trump and China's Xi Jinping agreed to a 90-day negotiation, but some observers suggest a deal may not be concluded in that time, and that set off a wild, volatile sell-off on Wall Street. Unrelated to yesterday's decline, the stock and bond markets were ordered closed today by President Trump to honor former President George Bush. The Postal Office suspending most deliveries today as part of our National Day of Mourning. Markets resume trading tomorrow. Please join me for Lou Dobbs tonight, 7 o'clock and 10 Eastern on the Fox Business Network. This is the Lou Dobbs Financial Report.
Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island is now offering CBD oil. If you haven't learned about the benefits of CBD oil, well, now is the time. Numerous medical studies have shown that CBD oil reduces nausea, eases inflammation, suppresses seizure activity, combats depression, and much more. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Fresh, all-natural foods, name-brand vitamins and supplements, and now they're stocking CBD oil. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Eat healthy, live healthy. Call 541-0009. That's 541-0009.
Holiday season is busy, so let Tunis Restaurant at 7400 103rd Street help out. Tunis Restaurant, just west of I-295, offers dine-in or takeout. The original Kronos gyros, oysters, shrimp, fish, wings, and more. It's all at the original Tunis Restaurant. A pound of gizzards or livers is just $4.99, 30 jumbo shrimp for $9.99. Check out the new Sidewinder fries. Special discounts for military first responders and school employees. The original Tunis Restaurant, open 7 days a week on Facebook at ZBest The Original.
Sunny today with the high of 57, clear and cold tonight, 34 the low, and currently it is 43 at WBOB.
All right, let's squeeze in a phone call before we go to the top of the hour. Patrick, hey, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, I had a comment about the economist that you guys were talking to.
Yes, sir.
He said that the bailouts for the farmers were being paid for with debt from China. I thought they were being paid for with the tariffs from China that we're collecting now.
Now, we've been bailing out the farmers for years.
Right, but I thought the new bailouts to cover what they're losing because of the tariffs that China has brought up.
I think there was something that was being talked about that. But I don't think there's been enough of the tariffs taking place to, you know, talk about bailing out the farmers. Kind of interesting. That's what Trump wanted to do. I mean, Patrick brings up a good point. You can use it for that, but until you get enough of... Well, I mean, the question is how much of the tariffs you're going to use do you need to bail out the farmers? So the question is, have we done enough of that yet? So if they're going to use it, that might work out, but I don't know. I don't think it's still a justifiable reason. By the way, why are we bailing out farmers for? You know, we bail out farmers that make over $250,000 a year to $1 million. Why are we subsidizing people to grow and not to grow?
That's in profit?
Profit? No, it's what's been going on since that of the great days of the Great Depression. It's Republicans running all that.
Mm.
More as we continue to move along. Talk radio, WBOB.